No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I am Ashley, here with my amazing co-host, Gian, and we are here to have the official pre-game preview for what is going to be an incredibly important match on Wednesday between Nashville SC and Inter Miami for a spot in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Gian, how are you doing, my friend? Hello, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I'm doing good. Excited for this game coming up on Wednesday. Huge game for us. Nice opportunity, as you said it in a conversation between us about a nice bounce back that it would be after this tough loss for us here at home, our first loss at home against Montreal. So I think that we got a bunch of rested players and we should be ready for Wednesday, which should be a really exciting game that we're both actually going to be in attendance. We'll both be covering from the press box for you. We'll be making sure we get interviews done for you guys, questions and all that sort of thing. So happy, excited, and ready to get into it and start talking about what we can expect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we'll give people a couple minutes to trickle in. But before we start talking about the preview, since we didn't do a live stream yesterday after the Montreal loss, maybe we can just take a couple minutes to talk about our reactions to it. I posted a reaction obviously on YouTube and on Twitter about my feelings for the game. Make sure you check it out on the Five Reasons Sports YouTube channel. It's also linked on Twitter, but you know, my overall thoughts, to be brief, was that I think that there's a fundamental issue that I'm worried about with the team, which is that if Messi and Suarez don't play, but especially Messi doesn't play, we are automatically set up to lose. And that both Tata and the formation and the other players are just not setting ourselves up for success. And that is going to be a big problem if it persists, because like we said, Messi is going to be playing in Copa America. He cannot play every single game of the season. Even if there wasn't Copa America, he can't play every game of the season. Neither can Suarez, neither can Busquets, etc. We have to be able to play without them. And I'm worried that either from tactics or desire or just comfortability, that we aren't up to the challenge. So it was definitely a frustrating game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit frustrating. I think that we knew going into that game without Messi and how reliant Inter Miami has been on Messi, and now with the addition of Suarez and knowing that Suarez most likely wasn't going to start, which he didn't start, he went in later on in the second half. We knew that it was going to be a struggle because we really hadn't seen anybody else step up in their absence. And I mean, Messi and Suarez, how many times did they, in the short season so far, did they bail out Inter Miami to make sure that even though maybe they didn't deserve to win or maybe they didn't show enough to be the clear-cut deserving winner of the game. They were making sure that Inter Miami was still there till the very end, fighting, battling back, getting a tie or winning the game. So I expected the game to kind of be like this, to have players start to try to figure out what, you know, what their roles are without those two on the field, without Busquets on the field. And I would say, you know, it does stink that we lost, but I think that if I can take a positive out of that game, it's that I still think that we had enough to win that game. I think that as Messi begins to miss more games with Copa America around the corner and other international duties that he's going to have, Suarez possibly stepping out, and then others, I think that we've kind of seen some guys shine. Mm-hmm. You know, we spoke about Redondo. Man, Redondo played a great game against Montreal. The offense was flowing through him. He did a lot of great things there. Robert Taylor, even though he didn't score, he came close to scoring, but he was the focal point of the offense and doing really well. So, yeah, I think that if we can kind of look at it from a glass half full perspective, these guys are starting to grow into the roles. They're starting to figure themselves out. And I think that as we move forward, I think that that this team will hopefully be able to deal with these moments where Messi and Suarez aren't available. But it was a bit frustrating. But towards the end, they found their footing. And we almost tied, almost won. Just that lapse of what, like 3, 4, 5 minutes or something where we got scored on twice.
The referee, yeah. I said it. It was one of the worst refereeing performances I've seen in a very long time, because, you know, people can say what they want about, oh, it's, you know, pro versus second division or whatever the case may be. You learn how to referee time wasting in like college refereeing. And so I don't, whether it's nuanced tackles or heated moments, or, you know, people or stars, I understand that it gets a little bit more granular and harder to understand, like, you know, as the game gets more difficult. And I wish that we had the MLS refs for sure. But the blatant time wasting that started in the first half, like in the first 10 minutes of the game by Montreal, I thought it was just like an unbelievable mistake by the referee that he just couldn't rectify. I mean, the fact that the goalkeeper from Montreal didn't get a yellow card in the whole game is mind-boggling to me. And I'm not going to blame, you know, it's the team didn't play at the level they should have. They waited too long. I thought Tata made a lot of mistakes with the formations. And I think that if you were going to bench Messi and Busquets and Suarez, to also bench Gomez was silly. Like, you can't just take out four of your most potent players at once, you know, especially Gomez is what, 20 years old, 21 years old. I thought it was bad decision making. And so it all added up to being obviously what it ended up as. But yeah,
you know what's interesting though? We
problems.
So we asked Messi and Co. 5 reasons we were able to be in the press conference for Tata Martino, and we asked them about that 5-3-2 formation. We asked them whether that was something that was more out of need because Yedlin isn't with the team anymore.
Yeah.
Or was it something where he maybe thought that that was the lineup better suited for this game, or is it something that maybe he likes more than the 4-3-3? To which he answered, a big part of it is a need because they don't have a natural right back right now. He also mentioned the name Boatwright and said that they do understand that he could play in that position, but that he's really young right now and they don't know if he's ready necessarily for that responsibility in big games, right? So we're talking about, like, when you talk about big games, you're talking about Thursday night in the CONCACAF Champions over in Nashville. They didn't know if he was ready for that responsibility, hence why they went with that 5-3-2. And then same thing against Montreal, first game at home, they were unbeaten at home. They wanted to continue down that path, and they just were unsure if Boatwright could continue or Boatwright could fill in for Yedlin's shoes at the moment. But also, he also mentioned that it was a strategic thing where he saw Montreal and he saw that the wingers and the players that play mostly on the outside were were very much in on the attack and on the counterattack. They're very much involved, and he wanted to make sure that they had an extra body to combat that. So that was something that he mentioned, which leads me to think, in reality, actually, if we think about this, like, why did they get rid of
I was literally just about to say to you that they had had then don't get rid of Yedlin if you don't have a right back ready. And if you and you see the 4-3-3 is working and that is what you want to use and that's what you want to have a consistent powerhouse team and you can't find a right back to replace him, then don't do it. Or get any right back who's a natural right back. You know, you don't need to get, you know, the starter from like Barcelona. It leads a lot of questions and like those excuses, just I don't think that they're valid. Like if then don't get rid of the right back. And I thought you do have a natural right back in Julian Gressel, who always been fantastic in the midfield. He can play right back. David Ruiz, I thought, did a very commendable job as right back. Like it's not worth it because the way the whole entire play gets stunted. And like I said, in my post-game reaction, every time that either Alba or Ruiz were able to get into a bit of space and take the ball up the wing, there was only one pink shirt in the box in the middle of the field surrounded by 4 or 5 Montreal shirts. And it was Campana. That was it. I thought Robert Taylor had for his standards, a poor game. Obviously he had that goal opportunity, and if the goal went in, maybe we'd be saying something differently, but it was his opportunity to be aggressive and to take charge and to take shots and to make the defense uncomfortable. And he didn't, he played very timid and he dribbled around a lot. He didn't take shots. He didn't try and make himself forceful. And look, there's a lot of things I think went wrong with it. And hopefully it's early enough in the season and, you know, it hopefully shows what can be done. But what I said yesterday and what I say now and what I mean wholeheartedly is that Tata Martino does not have the luxury of being able to have this mistake happen over and over again this season. I feel very confident in saying that if they continue to lose every game that Messi doesn't play, he's going to get fired because Messi is staying. He has his contract. He has his 3 best friends on the team with him. And even if he likes Tata and they are like Tata and they're comfortable with him, doesn't matter. They have to win now. Like the amount of money that the front office has invested and the amount that MLS has invested in, et cetera, and the season ticket holders, et cetera, they need to win this season multiple trophies. And like, there is no room for error. And I just think that his leash is much shorter than it was last year.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely a big responsibility on Tata's shoulders. I think that when you bring in players of the caliber of the 4 ex-Barcelona players, and then you're bringing in young talents like Redondo, and then Farias that unfortunately got injured, and then other young guys that, I mean, this team on paper is probably the best team in MLS right now on paper. And I think, yeah, I would agree with you in the sense of like that definitely does have high expectations on him. I don't know how much of a leash he has or what. I just know that, I mean, he's got like 3 or 4 different things that he can win this season. He's got to win at least 2 or 3 of them, I think that would be the first four.
Like it was going well. There was some bumps, but they were able to smooth it over. I just think that in terms of like, you know, when we get to, let's say like June or July, and, you know, we look like a completely different team without Messi, and that the players don't know where to go, and that we keep losing, and that we, you know, things are going wrong. I just think they'll fire him. I really do. I mean, I don't dislike him, honestly, but I think he's stubborn, and I think some of the game has passed him by, and that he's not as innovative as other coaches and other situations. And that when you have this talent and the parity of the league, like it's not like other leagues where you have 2 or 3 teams that are like so much better than everyone else. While yes, Inter Miami is better than everyone else, not by that much, like not by such a margin where they can sleepwalk through every game. And so I think if he doesn't adapt and he doesn't understand that, you know, the 3-5-2 just isn't working and is not going to work with this talent or this, you know, level of players, it's gonna bite him in the butt. Well, but we can move on. And I see the comment, you know, from Rock. We have a lot to talk about. But, you know, Rock says, what's the latest news on the RB position recruitment? It's a really good question. I mean, I know that the backup from Boca Juniors is no longer an option because they wanted at least $1 million and Inter Miami were not close to that number. And so that's not going to happen. So it will be interesting to see. I think there was another player, and I'm forgetting who it was. Maybe you know, Gian. I know there was someone else they were starting to get in talks with, but I think that they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, unfortunately, that fell through. The guy from Boca. There's another guy, I'm not exactly sure. I think he's might be Paraguayan too, from South America, a club in South America. But right now, it doesn't look like there's anything imminent. So that's something to watch out for, because, yeah, a huge need for us. So with that, we were thinking what we can do now is just, we've got a kind of 5 minutes or so of a preview, or not a preview, rather a replay of some of the CONCACAF Champions highlights from the last game, Nashville versus Inter Miami. So we kind of wanted just to walk through that. That way it can kind of lead us into what to expect for next game. We'll kind of see some of the issues that we had, and then hopefully just move on from there. So I'm going to go ahead and bring this up for you guys.
I know we're becoming tactical magicians here. They're going to bring us into coach soon.
All right. So let's go ahead and kind of take a look at the last game on Thursday, in which Nashville and Inter Miami tied 2-2. So let's go ahead and take a look at this.
Seven. McCarty, Pico are gone. Panico on the bench. Sam Surridge is unavailable tonight.
Yeah, that's a game where Sam Surridge actually didn't play, and I thought it was going to make it easier on Inter Miami, but apparently
it was other players who ended up really being the exactly. Schuffelberg ended up being like the real game changer for it, and Hani Mukhtar, who we would normally think would have been the game changer, was not. And it's you know, just it just goes to show you any given day.
Look, so the first thing that we see here is obviously one of the things that a lot of teams are doing now against Inter Miami are playing on the counterattack. They're giving them full possession of the ball. They're not worried about possession of the ball, and they're just waiting to counterattack on Inter Miami, as they've identified that Miami's defense is their biggest weak spot here. And then first off of the bat, we see a counterattack here, and Christoph goes in, lunges in to try to get the stop, and he completely like whiffs on that. And that, I mean, you can see right there, that was terrible. Redondo right there, this was his first game. So he was still trying to find his footing, but right here he was a little bit slow to, he kind of let him pass him right here. And because he doesn't, then that actually made Aviles. Aviles should have been covering Schuffelberg right here, and then he had to step up because, you know, Redondo wasn't able to step up correctly, and that just leaves him wide open for the goal.
Yeah. Top of the net, it was a good goal.
And that's
I also
tough.
On that on that point, on that point, I also think that I thought Aviles really didn't have a good game yesterday either. So that's just another thought I had. But yeah, it was a good goal, and I remember watching and both of us saying at the same time, damn.
I thought that was a goal. Messi has scored that same goal a few times for us. I mean, Messi had quite a few opportunities. He just wasn't on target that game, unfortunately, for us, because he could have scored. We've seen him score a bunch on that one.
Pretty amazing how effortless he makes it look when it's just, you know, the ball's whizzing towards him, leaning backwards, unbalanced, first touch, hits it, curves it, almost top ends.
So I'm going to stop it here. This is something when I was watching the replays earlier today. Look at this. This is uncharacteristic, in my eyes, uncharacteristic for Messi. Messi has wide open on the right. I think that's Gressel, if I'm not mistaken. And on the left, was it Jordi?
Suarez.
I can't see. Okay, that's Suarez. He could have played the ball left to Suarez, or he could have played the ball to the right.
Yeah.
And this was very uncharacteristic. This should have been a goal.
I thought the same thing.
That 100% was on Messi in this case. Yeah, there's Suarez. He could have put the ball right to Suarez or to the right to Gressel.
And that's two early opportunities where you would bet the house money that, you know, Messi would score that.
Yeah, 100%.
Or create the goal for one of the other two.
This was a good shot by Gressel, just not enough power on it.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty good shot. You could argue that maybe Aviles stepped a little too late on the ball to try to block it, but either way, that's just, man, that's a high-level goal there from Schuffelberg. He was just – that's one of those nights where he was just on fire, and it looks like it's closed off.
It was a great goal.
That was a really good goal.
It was another moment where I just like my jaw dropped to the floor and I was like, there's no way this is happening. Yeah. Oh, but then what do we have? The greatest of all time doing greatest of all time things.
Yeah. That was 6 or 7 minutes into the second half, and Messi scores and gives Inter Miami life. So that was good.
Look at that. 4 Nashville players around him, not even looking up, and just knows exactly where to go. Think about that. Wait, go pause and go back for a second.
Yeah.
Look at that. When he gets the ball and the dribble he takes, he does not look up from receiving the ball to shooting it and it going in. He had not yet looked up at the goal. Wait, yeah, play it and wait until you see it from when it's from his angle. Keep going. They show it from a different angle in a second. Just wait until you see. Look, he doesn't look up. He dribbles, shoots, has yet to look up. Golazo. That's just amazing. Didn't even look up.
But isn't it incredible? Isn't it incredible how he only needs like an inch of space for him to score? That dang. And I got excited over this, but it sucked that it was offside.
It seemed so close. Oh my God. Speaking of offside, the offside calls yesterday were also ridiculous. Anyways. This was offside, but only by a hair. This obviously is when the game started to get really scrappy in the 70th minute and beyond. We saw that terrible tackle on Messi.
Oh, man. I have a lot to say on this. I've been annoyed by some of the comments I've seen on this.
Yeah.
Oof. Look. I've seen so many comments that this isn't a foul. This isn't a foul. You don't know soccer. You don't know ball. And... It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, look, they said that he didn't see Messi, that he was looking down the entire time for the clearance and that Messi got there late. That's not right. I mean, you know why he runs like that? You know why he runs like that, where he hears to get to the ball? Because he sees Messi's coming in to close out. He knew Messi was coming in to get the ball. And what does he do? He lunges, like, and look at his back foot. This isn't natural unless you're lunging forward and you're trying. Mm-hmm. Like, look at how his back foot. I don't even know what the word is, but look. But look, his back foot. He starts to slide. Look. You see how he slides on his back foot? That's a slide. Like trying to get to the ball, slide clearance. He knew Messi was there. I play soccer, and if I know I'm going on a 50-50 ball, I'm not gonna go in. If I'm getting to the ball first, I'm not gonna finish that play with cleats up. That's not going to happen because I don't want to injure whoever's coming in on that 50-50 ball with me. He goes straight in and keeps his cleats up. He could have toe blowed and gone to the side. Like, bro, look, let me show you something. Hold on. I'm going to show you something.
Also, I want to say this, you know, two things could be true at the same time. One thing can be true that in the very split second, obviously his goal was not to break Messi's leg off. Like, obviously that was, and it was, he was following through with this kick. That can be true. But at the same time, endangerment. If they just let all those, here we go.
If I'm running and I'm going to go 50-50 on the ball, right? Like, this is the ball right here. I'm not going to go in and then just follow through like that. I'm going to go in and go, and then go to the right. Or like, you can't just go in and like cleats up. Like, that's ridiculous. That is a foul. That should have been a red card. Like, that, I don't understand.
It's reckless endangerment. And that's the point. Like, you know, obviously split second decisions happen and the follow through is quote unquote natural. But if everything was just based off of your natural instinct and you didn't have to have awareness about potentially injuring players, then there wouldn't be red cards and there wouldn't be rules, because I'm sure no one goes into a game or a moment going, I really hope I break my opponent's leg. I mean, there's obviously a few crazies out there, but that's not anyone's thing. But still, plenty of red cards get given out. Why? Because it's player safety and it's trying to, deter from the reckless abandonment.
I'm not going to say that he went in to kill him.
Be a red card, at the very least a yellow card. And the fact that it wasn't given either is obviously crazy.
No, it was completely ridiculous. I mean, it's not to say that he meant to hurt him, but that was irresponsible on his behalf. You don't finish that play going cleats up, and he very well 100% knew that Messi was on his left, which is why he went in like that full speed and ended up sliding. So,
no, agreed. No, I mean, no excuses. And Messi's not really like a, you know, someone who's like a over exaggerator crier. Like, he was in terrible pain and you just knew it wasn't good, but he's bionic because he was fine. Now this, in this moment, we both thought, hearts sank. Damn, I can't believe we lost this one. I can't believe we let this one slip. It was bad tactics, not a good awareness. We were like, damn. But in this instance, VAR came to our
it was defense. Like by millimeters, like millimeters.
Offsides. But he was offsides. Yeah. And, you know, if it's called the other way, it's an offside. That's the point of VAR. That's the point of drawing the lines. But then what do we have? Golazo from the number nine, one of the best goal scorers. I mean, maybe it wasn't a golazo, it was just a good header, but one of the best number nine goal scorers of our generation, Luis Suarez, in the depth, in the end, great cross from Busquets, gets that goal. Shows us what we're paying for.
Yeah, minute 90, 94. I mean, yeah.
It was a hell of a game.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, game. And look, I know that there was a bit of frustration there, especially with that lineup and not being able to come out with the win. But when you go into a hostile environment in a CONCACAF Champions Cup in Nashville, and you're coming home with 1 point away from home, coming back with two goals in pocket, because away goals count extra in the case of a tiebreaker, like, this is as good a result as you could have asked for from the guys here, and I'm just excited for what's coming up on Thursday. So Wednesday. So that's exciting. Something I wanted to share in this press conference with that they asked him an interesting question. Well, I believe this was Michelle Kauffman. Michelle Kauffman asked him how Messi was doing. There was a lot of questioning around that, especially after having seen that injury. And then even earlier on in the game, as soon as he, like 2 minutes in, he was grabbing at his hamstring. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of questions, seeing that also he didn't participate in practice. He stayed to do gym work. He didn't go out. He didn't run on the field or any of that sort of stuff. And then again, he wasn't even on the bench for Sunday's game. Tata Martino said that they had already known for a week that he wasn't going to play on Sunday. That was the plan from the beginning, which is so interesting. Because we talk so much about, like, the misdirection from Inter Miami and the coaches, and we don't know if he's going to play. Javi Morales was asked that question on Saturday after they had taken that Friday off after the game. Saturday they had practice. They interview and they asked a question to Javi Morales, and he says, we don't know yet if he's playing or not. We're going to talk with him tonight. He'll let us know how he's feeling, and then we'll figure out if he's going to play or not.
Yeah.
And then Tata says, no, we knew for a week. Like, it's
yeah.
Like, you can't.
Yeah, that was silly.
Yeah. you can't, like, you can't predict these things with Inter Miami. Miami is, like, so, like, they throw so many misdirections. They want to make sure that the opponents don't know who's going to play on a given night. But I know it also makes it tough for fans, right? So that's the kind of, like, the sucky part, because you're trying to figure out, do I pay to go to the game? Do I not? Do I travel?
Big news! Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end-of-season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Travel, that sort of thing. But I thought that was interesting that he was always meant to rest on Sunday from the very beginning. And it looks like he's going to be ready to play. I have zero doubt in my mind that he's going to be ready and available. And I think we'll have our best 11, actually, ready to play on Wednesday.
Agreed. But what I unfortunately think is going to happen is we're still going to play a 3-5-2. Even with our best available 11, because he's just not going to put forth back. He's just not. He's not even if he should.
You think so, really?
I'm sure of it. Yeah. No, because he doesn't trust Ruiz to be a normal right back, and he doesn't want Gressel to have to play, and he doesn't want to put Boatwright in that situation yet. So I think it's going to be probably the same lineup as we saw last week in Nashville, same formation, which obviously to me is disappointing. Oh, but it'll be Alba instead of Allen as left back. But I think maybe you'll see Noah Allen as the third center back instead of Kristoff, which I really hope, because again, it's no shade to Kristoff, but he is just so much slower than everybody else. And when we're playing a counterattack, when we know we're being susceptible to the counterattack, you just can't. He's such a liability.
Yeah. No, I mean, Black Story, I think it's both, in all honesty. I think tactically it makes sense. Like, you don't want to let your opponent know who's playing, and this isn't the first time that coaches have done that, and it's not in the only sport that they've done that. They do that in basketball, they do that in other sports. But to your point, I think it is also a business thing, but that's not something Tata thinks about anyways, and the coaches don't think about that. That might be direction from the higher ups, but yeah, they don't, you know, if Messi is not going to be there 100%, that's going to affect ticket sales. But Sunday's game was packed. Like, that was...
Yeah, it was still a great atmosphere. And I mean, in the second half, especially when it became so, like, back and forth.
Yeah.
It was fun. You know, can I make a crazy statement? I think that yesterday, if Gomez started instead of Sunderland, I think we would have won. I think benching Gomez when benching the other three was really short-sighted of Tata, because it just was unnecessary. Like, I know he's still, you know, had some tightness and cramps a few weeks ago, and he's, you know, he played a lot in the pre-Olympic for Paraguay, but you needed to have that, like, offensive firepower and that consistency and just that courage. And to ask Sunderland to do that was naive. He can't. He's young, and that's not what he's meant to do. And so you couldn't have Gressel, you know, Redondo had to be playing both sides of the field, had to be more defensive. And while the offense was running through him, you couldn't ask him to be Busquets and Gomez at the same time. And that's what Tata was doing. And it was unnecessary. And I think that if Gomez had started the game, I actually think we would have been putting a lot more pressure on the Montreal defense earlier on. They would have been more susceptible to mistakes, and I think that we would have gotten a result.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that thought he had enough to win that game. I mean, there were plenty of opportunities.
I don't know why, when we were worse than the league last year by a huge margin.
The opportunities were there. Like, if Campana had a little bit of a better performance. He had like three opportunities before he scored that header. Robert Taylor had one right in front of the goal that he hit the post. So if you really think about it, if we would have scored at least one of those four or five or maybe even six opportunities that we had, like, the chances were there. Now it's up to the players to finish. And I think that that's a sacrifice that Tata made to make sure that he was coming in here 100%. We're still early on in the season. And I mean, we've said it, you've even mentioned it yourself right now. It's Champions Cup is the number one priority in here. So
yeah, agreed. And I mean, I think again, it was, you know, the first four games we were unbeaten. We're still at the very top of the East. If not second, there's still lots to play tonight. And I, you know, the team has been playing well and I have faith in it, but again, just like last year, and obviously very different scenarios, but in the first three or four months of the season, we let opportunities slip by us and we were too casual and they knew in their head, well, we're getting Messi in July. And when he came, we were very last in the East, very last in the whole entire league. And because of that, we didn't make the playoffs and there was a huge suffering. And so I think it's, you know, they can't be as blasé with games that Messi doesn't start, in my opinion. I think, especially because, like I said, my season ticket price is tripled from last year to this year, which is fine. Like I said, I think Messi is worth it, but I expect to see more out of the whole team and of our tactics and our coaching and putting us in better positions to succeed. And that goes for everyone. That goes for on and off the field.
Yeah, well, I think we'll be good for this game. Like I said, I think that Montreal game was just a sacrifice to make sure that we come in fully healthy and that we have our top 11 going into this game. And I think that that's what they're going to do. I don't know if he's going to do a 5-3-2 or if he's going to do a 4-3-3 and take the gamble on, in his mind, you know, with Gressel at the right back. No, I know. I'm trying to somehow.
I'll be happily wrong. I'll be the first one to be so happily wrong on Wednesday. Yeah. But.
Yeah, I'm trying to will it. All I know is, look, if Inter Miami wants to win this game against Nashville on Wednesday, I think the most important thing to do is don't be overly confident when you have the ball. When you have possession of the ball and it's halftime and you already have 60, 70% possession of the ball, don't be overly confident and think to yourself, hey, you know, we're dominating or this is easy. No, like, this is by design. Nashville is going to give Inter Miami the ball. You have to worry about making sure that you take care of that ball. If you're going to play with a 5-3-2, make sure that you, when you're the three in the back and your team is attacking, you've got your three in the back, that you don't leave huge gaps between your center backs where it's going to cause big problems, because that's what we've seen. As soon as Nashville gets a counter, or even Montreal did that on Sunday, they get the counterattack, they put a ball to a forward in between those ginormous spaces that the three center backs leave between them. You got to make sure that you control the spacing there for Inter Miami. You got to make sure that one of Busquets or Redondo, which I truly believe they'll both play, they got to make sure that at least one of them is cognizant of the fact that if the other one is pushing forward, the other has to stay back and be ready to run back. I think that that's going to be really important. And then use your weapons. Inter Miami has weapons that at some points I don't understand what's going on. When you have Alba on the left-hand side and you're not using him to his fullest potential, and we've seen he operates the best when you give him the ball in stride and he's running down the left flank and he's able to get the ball and run, cut in, put the pass back into the penalty area, and either Messi is there or Suarez is there. There are a lot of times where I don't see that's happening, and we start to try to push too much through the middle, and we forget that we've got really good weapons.
One of the best left backs of all time.
One of the best left backs. You've got Robert Taylor that is amazing on the wing as well. We had Yedlin, so right now, again, I don't know, unless Gressel plays or whoever plays on that right side, we might have help. But you've got to use the wings when the middle isn't working. And that happens sometimes with Inter Miami. When the middle isn't working, they forget about the wings and they just continue to go down the path that isn't working. So I just want to make sure, and I hope that that's something that Tata does, is to make sure you use all your assets. You've got plenty of really good weapons here, and you got to make sure you use them. Do you think Redondo is going to play?
Yeah,
100%, right?
I think so too. And I, you know, I'll tell you what. Again, I really don't want the 3-5-2 or the 5-3-2, whatever. I don't, but I feel it's fairly likely until we have a true right back. This is what I'll say: if we are having that back five, and I mean this wholeheartedly, the three center backs has to be Aviles, Freire, and Noah Allen. Because 100%. Let me tell you why. Also, when Noah Allen is playing as a center back on the left side, Jordi Alba feels more comfortable going further up because there's a natural left back behind him, and he feels more off. Exactly. This is a real, you know, I think Jordi Alba's a pretty good defender, but I agree that he has so much offensive skill set and skill power. And I saw it yesterday at the game that Jordi Alba was so much more fluid and flexible. He was even coming in the midfield sometimes to get passes and to transition. And I think that if Noah Allen is playing next to him, he feels a lot more comfortable going up and creating. And that is what we desperately need in this formation. And if it's Christophe, Jordi Alba does not feel comfortable going as far up because Freire, who is a very good center back, it forces him into a hole, and Christophe is nowhere near the level of the other ones. And I also think that Aviles, at the same time, like I said earlier, I was a little disappointed in his performance yesterday. The header goal was his mark that he missed. Yeah. And this is the year where he needs to take big strides and big jumps. And I trust him to be the starting center back pairing with Freire. And I think he can do it, but in certain games, like he needs to have a lot more, he needs to be a lot more disciplined, a lot more focused, and a lot more steadfast in the back. And he sometimes, I think he lets his immaturity and age show. And like we've talked about multiple times, with the construction of our roster and with the games we're playing and the formations and just, you know, the overall intensity we're getting from our opponents, every other player outside of Messi, Suarez, Busquets, etc., has to be playing exactly in their position, exactly correctly. And when they don't, things like yesterday happen.
Yeah, 100%. This team, especially with this defense, leaves little room for error.
That's little 100%. Room for error.
And that's why the midfield is really important for us, extremely important. That's why they have to be, I mean, we saw a few times where, and against in the Montreal game, one of the goals, the midfield was nowhere to be found. I believe it was that goal where, who was it? It was on a counterattack. And, oh, the one where Joseph got the ball in the area and then he touches back. And I forgot who it was that came in from behind. But if you look at the replay, nobody from the midfield ran back. They were caught ball watching. And just I think that they assumed that the goal was already a done thing. Yeah. And they were just watching. And that's something that we need to make sure against Nashville, that the midfield does not do that, that they don't give up, that they run back on every play. Even if you think it's already a goal, they need to make sure that they get back in time. Because this defense needs a lot of help. This defense needs a lot of help. And if not, we're going to suffer. But again, we're coming in with two away goals. If we can make sure that we can pass with a tie, a 1-1 tie, and we go through. Yeah. So that's important. A win by even one goal, a 1-0 win or a 2-0 win, we pass. So the odds are in our favor. We just need to make sure everybody's on top of their game, make sure we communicate, make sure we don't lend ourselves to the counterattack. And no, that's what these guys are playing for. They're playing for the counterattack, and they're good at it. And now you've got Sam Surge that's coming back that wasn't available for them. I believe he's going to come back. That adds an even bigger weapon for them. So him and an even healthier Mukhtar, because Mukhtar was coming back from an injury, an even healthier Mukhtar with Sam Surge is a lethal dose. Those two, the way they combine, not only goal scoring, but playmaking between them is something of beauty. And that's something that Busquets and Redondo and whoever, I don't know if Tata is going to use a man mark or just zone, but whatever he does, he needs to make sure that he pays attention to those two specifically. If you can lock those two guys down, I think you've got a much better opportunity to win the game on Thursday.
Yeah, agreed. And also, did you notice that Montreal, I feel like we were playing Inter Miami FC of the past, because it was Joseph Martinez, it was Bryce Duke, it was Ari Lassiter. And in my head, I'm just like, God, I've seen all these players play before. But yeah. And also to your point, you know, if we're being completely honest, and if Nashville is being completely honest, especially when they knew, you know, that they weren't playing at full strength, I think they expected to lose, honestly, last week, or they didn't expect maybe to be up 2-0, to be completely honest. And I think at this point in their head, the fact that it's even, they maybe feel like they have a slight, not advantage, but they understand that, you know, it just takes one, you know, one lapse of judgment from them or one opportunity that they can pounce on. And they could, you know, they could steal it away from Inter Miami. But I agree, we're playing in, you know, Chase Stadium. We're going to have a fully fit squad, or at least a full strength squad. Hopefully that, you know, the team wants to perform well, especially after the loss yesterday.
Set pieces too. They got to be careful with the set pieces, man. We were the worst team last year in MLS with set pieces. I thought that we had gone over that hump. And now I came right back. Right back to bite us in the butt and said, hey, remember me?
It's true. But look, you know, with that being said, it's going to be a really exciting atmosphere. It's going to be so fun. We will both be there. We're really excited. We'll be providing, you know, live content, live commentary. We're going to hopefully be able to do a post-game show live there, also do the press conferences, lots of exciting stuff. But you know, I think it's time for our predictions on what is going to be, you know, an incredibly important game for this whole season. Like the whole season is really I think, heavily dependent on this game. Good evening from Scotland. Hi, I'm going to Scotland in August, actually. So you got to tell me places to go. They need more speed, but you know, they have fast players, but then they just have extremely slow players that they also put in. I mean, Kristoff, it's really like he's taken a huge drop off from last year to this year. And he was already starting to slow down a lot last year. He's taken a huge drop off. If we're in that formation we're playing, it's just you cannot bring an umbrella. You cannot risk it. You really can't. You know, I think Noah Allen is just a much better choice, and I hope that Tata starts to see that. I also think Drake Callender made a lot of mistakes, uncharacteristic mistakes yesterday. And while he's an amazing shot-stopping goalkeeper, I still don't think he's comfortable enough in terms of spacing and reading long balls and reading just like, you know, what's happening around him. Like both the first two goals really should have been prevented by him. Both of them were really directly, I think, his fault. The second was a set piece, and you know, it's obviously that they're put into dangerous areas, but he should have been more aggressive and he should have tried to knock the ball out before they had a direct
the first was a goal. Set it was a set piece too. It was a corner kick,
right? He misjudged it. He made the mistake to make it to a corner. So yeah, it was uncharacteristic bad performances from Drake. An amazing shot-stopping goalkeeper, but needs to notch up that part of his game where he has much better awareness of the ball and much better judging of long balls coming in and things like that. And he's a world-class keeper if he can do those things, but he needs to take that jump.
Yeah. For me, I think if I could share, I could think one key for the game, and maybe if you wanted to, something that you're looking into. But yeah. I think, you know, seeing how Redondo has so quickly been able to understand his role in this team. The team is already in his second game relying on him for offense, and he's directing that. He's actually directing and coaching. It's crazy. Like in his second game, he was giving the defense instructions. He was pointing, giving the midfield instructions.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that Tata mentioned is he wanted to make sure that Messi didn't have to dive so deep into the midfield to have to get the ball, where he would be able to focus more on offense, to be able to get the ball high up on the field, maybe in the final third already, to be able to either shoot or be able to distribute the ball and playmake. I think Redondo is a huge key to that now, because we saw his playmaking abilities. Redondo is like a young Busquets, in my opinion, with a bit more offense in him. The way that he was able to get the ball in the midfield, the way that he was able to run, he's so tactical, putting great passes, getting everybody involved. That's going to be huge, I think, for Messi, because Messi won't have to do that as much. And I think that one of the things to look out for on Wednesday, look out for Redondo connecting with Messi. I think that's going to be big for us. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a goal that stems from a Redondo pickup in the midfield, pass to Messi, and then Messi either finishes or passes to Suarez or Robert Tierra if he's in the game. So I'm really excited for that, how this youngster has come in and just right off the bat.
Great awareness and just great, you know, holding himself up and, you know, making himself known on the pitch and within the team, and just, you know, passion, leadership, aggression, like wasn't scared, agreed. Not all of his passes were perfect, a little rusty in some parts. But I think that he plays like a real player, you know, like a baller. He knows how to just completely ingratiate himself in a game. And so I've really enjoyed it so far, and I hope he keeps growing. I'd love to see Busi and Redondo in front of defense. Agreed. And I mean, look, that's hopefully what we're aiming towards. I'll tell you what, I don't think Robert Taylor is going to start on Wednesday, especially if we do a 3-5-2. I don't think he's going to start, but I hope he can come in and make a difference. We'll see, though. We'll see. But
if he doesn't start, it's going to be because if he doesn't start, it's because Kristoff is your center back and Noah Allen is your left wing back. That's why it would be. So I really hope it's the opposite, because if Taylor starts, then that means we've got Noah Allen as your left center back. And that would be much better. I mean, I don't like, again, 3-5-2 or 5-3-2. People know that. But if we did do it, I think that that's the proper way to do it, is to have Noah Allen in the back and have Robert Taylor as your left wing back.
I think it's a proper way to do it too, but we've thought that many times and it doesn't always show that way in the starting lineup. But But I think it's time for us to give our score predictions and wrap this up. And I want to hear, you know, in the comments, let us know what you think the score will be. You go first. I know you've been mad when I keep going first. You go first.
I have not been able to get one right so far, I think, this season. And I'm struggling over here. Okay.
Three, five, two, and a low block, and they score three goals. Agreed.
Yeah. All right. So we went 2-2 in Nashville.
Yeah.
I think Inter Miami is going to go in there, play it safe, like play it smart, not being too aggressive, giving up counterattacks, making sure that they're very meticulous and precise with when they choose to attack and how they do it. So I don't think we're going to see I don't think we're going to see four goals, or we're going to see, you know, a 3-0. I'm going to go with, we see 2-1. I'm going to say 2-1 Inter Miami wins. It's going to be a goal from Messi, and I'm going to go with a goal from Suarez, because those have been the two most consistent guys for us. Those are the ones that score. So I'm going 2-1. But because I said 2-1, they'll probably win 5-0. That always happens to me. But 2-1, I'm going to go with that.
3-1. Is my prediction. I actually think we're going to ball. I think the goal is going to come from Messi. I think there's going to be a goal again from Jordi Alba. I know that's like really going for it. And I think there's going to be a substitution in the second half. And the third goal is going to be Campana towards the end of the game.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I think. I just think that like we're going to play actually with a lot of freedom, more so because we're playing at home. It's a big game. It's under the lights. It's, you know, it's what everyone's going to be watching. I agree with this comment. I love Taylor, but he needs to work on his stamina. I think that Robert Taylor has been fantastic in the last, you know, year for us, and it continues to be great. But in situations like Sunday, I think sometimes he's too timid, and he doesn't like let the moments take over for him. And he's, you know, when Messi's playing behind, like playing next to him and et cetera, Suarez, he feels a little bit more free. But when they're not playing, like that's when he needs to really like step up and like be running at 10 speed and shooting and making the goalkeeper work and making the defense nervous around him and make mistakes. And he didn't show that, which I was surprised by. But hopefully it was a good lesson. Messi and Suarez scores. Look, if Suarez keeps scoring, even better. I'm just saying, I want to make it a little bit more interesting. You know, I think Messi's going to continue to score. But yeah, so hopefully it's not only a win, but it's a resounding win. And we have a lot of confidence going into, you know, continuing in MLS and getting into the quarterfinals on like a really positive note.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I think it's going to be a tough game. I don't think it's going to be as easy as maybe some might think, but I think it'll be a very tactical game, just knowing that you're going back home with two away goals ready, and you basically just make sure you don't give away. At least don't give away two away goals.
It would be just catastrophic for the season if we lose. It really would be.
Yeah, I think I'd be devastated. I definitely would be devastated.
Not to be biased or anything, but everything would fall apart and we would, no.
Yeah, but that would be devastating. There's just so much riding on this. Like, this is huge. This is as big as it gets for Inter Miami.
Everyone's invested in. This is why, you know, the whole city, the area, the world is watching Messi and Inter Miami. It's for moments like this. We need to score first and they will break down. Agreed. This is a great comment. And this is, I think, a good comment to end on. Keep in mind, Messi is mad and you know what happens when he is mad. Agreed. I think that the whole team was on edge for that performance and did not have goodwill toward the end of it. And I think that they're going to try and make it, especially after yesterday, they're going to try and make a big stamp and a big statement.
Yeah, they definitely will. Messi was definitely mad and frustrated after that game. So he's going to come in with a vengeance. That's why I think he's going to score 100%. We're excited for that game. One thing before we do head out, I just want to make sure, and we do this every time, so just to remind you guys to follow us at Messi and Co. Follow us. So please, Ashley and I.
Follow us.
Yeah, follow us at Messi and Co. Ashley and I, in case you weren't here at the beginning, we're both going to be at the stadium We've got our credentials. We're going to be in the press box. We're going to get there early. So we're going to make sure to get you a lot of footage before we get there. We like to go around the stadium. We like to get you images of the stadium as people start to trickle in. We'll get you images of the supporters groups getting ready for the game. And then just other kind of things that you won't see on TV, you know, players warming up. We'll let you know before they even get announced that they're warming up on the side, all those sorts of things. We like to capture and get that on social media for you guys. And then if you guys have any questions, we're out there with our laptops typing away or with our phones typing away, bring you guys updates. If you have any questions, hey, do you see this guy on the field? Do you see this not? Let us know. We'll make sure to try to get you all those answers. And then we'll try to get you some post-game coverage as well for that game. So we're excited to be there covering for you guys. So, yeah, Agreed. Just make sure you guys follow us.
Agreed. And if you see either of us at the stadium, come and say hi. We really like saying hi. I know a lot of people here are international watching and being there, but – if you see us, come say hi. Question, will we be live then? I think we're going to – what we may end up doing is we're not 100% sure how it's going to play out, but maybe what will happen Wednesday post-game is, you know, most of the press conferences are in Spanish, and so I don't speak Spanish, but Gian does. We may have a situation where Gian goes and does some of the press conference, and maybe I start the live stream and talk with you guys and, you know, go from there. There will not be a pregame live stream, but we will be posting pregame and during the game. And if you have comments or ideas or thoughts or just, you know, questions, we will be there to answer them. So yeah, make sure you follow us. We're really excited. Big week, huge game Wednesday. Thank you for watching. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your comments. And we'll talk soon.
All right, guys, enjoy the game and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.